Well, everybody, welcome. We're glad that you're here. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Kirk. I am lead pastor here at Brentwood Park Alliance. If you're joining us online, we are so grateful that you are joining us and that you're here and part of our church family. And for all those who are visiting with us, we're so glad that you're here today. All right, well, let's get into the Word of God here. So when I was driving to work to the church here last Wednesday, I was, as I often do, what I do is I check my phone and I go to my Apple Maps and I go and I check to see how bad traffic is going to be in order to get here, because I have a couple of different directions that I can choose to go. And so from where I live in Surrey, representing the hood, I usually have to then go, I have to go over the Portman Bridge. And what I usually do is I take on the left lane, I go to Highway 1, which will then is the fastest way to get to the church when there's no traffic. But I have a choice. I can also branch off and take Highway 7 to get here as well over the Lougheed Highway. And without a doubt, without traffic, it's way faster for me to take Highway 1 than it is to take Highway 7. But on this Wednesday, my map said, take Highway 7. So, oh, okay. And for once, I decided to obey the maps. Because sometimes I like to think I know better than all of the technology that exists, right? So I decided to obey it. And the way that I get onto it causes me to get doubts. Because when I'm approaching it from 152, near where I live, the right lane that takes Highway 7 gets really backed up onto the entrance. And so I get into the lane, and I stand, and I get driving, and I stop, and I'm watching all the cars going to Highway 1, just zipping by, zoom, zoom, and I'm sitting there going, oh, maybe the maps lied to me, and I should go that way instead, and I'm just about to go over, and then we creep forward a little bit more, and then what happens is I finally, we get over the bridge, and at that point I'm like, okay, now it's too late, and I'm kind of locked in here, and I'm watching cars zip by, but then all of a sudden, my lanes open up, and I go forward at full speed, and then all of a sudden, I look over, and all the cars that have passed me on Highway 1 are now stopped. And I sit there going, ha ha, suckers, because I'm a very good Christian that way. Here's the thing is, I trusted my map. I made my way across the bridge, and it turns out the map actually gave me the right directions. Like, who knew, right? Like, who knew that actually following the directions of where we're supposed to go was going to get me to where I needed to be? Well, we're in a series that is called Missio Dei. It's a Latin phrase that means the mission of God. And we've been examining our new vision, our new mission, and our value statements that we looked at and rewrote back in November here at Brentwood Park. And the first section, about three sermons that we looked at, was all about our vision. And last week we did a little bit of a test and to see who remembered it. I told you there'd be a makeup exam. That's right now. We're going to see who remembers our new vision statement. If you know it, say it out loud with me now. Ready? Our vision is to see all people fully alive in Jesus and sharing his love with others. Excellent work. Five more of you got it this week. I'm very proud of you. And so we've been looking at that as the beginning part of our series. Then we looked last week at the idea about mission, our mission statement, and we started that by looking at the Great Commission given to us in the Bible in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the age. That's what we looked at. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a deep dive into our actual mission statement that we created. You see, church, if our vision is the destination, if it's where we want to end up, ultimately, then our mission is the GPS that's going to help us get there. And if we can follow the GPS, I think it's going to help us get to the vision. So let's look at our mission statement together here. Our mission here at Brentwood Park is to empower people to grow in a relationship with Jesus through biblical teaching, passionate worship, community service, and intentional relationships. Now, this mission is designed to help us fulfill our vision to help all people become fully alive in Christ. And we believe strongly that for anybody to become fully alive, they must be in Christ. They have to be in an ever-deepening relationship with Jesus. You can have everything this world can offer, all of the money, all of the fame, all the relationships. You can have everything that there is to offer, but if you don't have Jesus, you're not fully alive in Him. You're not fully alive. And so Jesus is the key linchpin of everything that we do here at Brentwood Park. Because it's Him who gives us life. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. He says, I have come that you would have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly, have it in super excess. You'd have all this amazing life in Him. So true life is only found through Jesus. And so our mission is to empower you to grow in a relationship with Him. And those three key words in our mission statement, empower, grow, and relationship, were chosen very deliberately. See, the first part is our mission is to empower you. I don't know how many of you went and saw the movie Barbie. Anybody here go see that movie this year? Right? Absolutely. One person. Okay, a couple on this side. Good. Excellent, right? My wife and I were big movie fans, so we did Oppen Barbie. We went and saw Oppenheimer first for the early show, and then for the late show, we went and saw Barbie. I thought we'll have dinner and then dessert, right, in terms of our movie choices. And I loved both movies for very different reasons. Now, there are a lot of people with some very strong opinions about Barbie and the message that Barbie is trying to communicate. But one of the things that I have found absolutely fascinating is that for some people, the movie Barbie gave a voice to some of the relationship struggles and an ideal to reach that fundamentally changed how they saw themselves and how they saw others. Some couples actually broke up after seeing the movie Barbie because they, in particular, the women realized that they were in a toxic relationship. And in the views between them and their boyfriends in particular, their views on equality and the patriarchy were so far apart that they couldn't be together anymore. See, the Barbie movie empowered people to make a change for the better, for some people. In a similar way, that's what we as a church, we want to do. We want to empower you to become more fully alive in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, as leadership in this church, we want to equip you to do it. And the goal is maturity. It says, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so we want to look at how can we empower you, equip you, give you the tools that you need to grow in your relationship with Jesus and become more fully alive in Him. So utilizing our four key pillars of ministry, we want to give you the tools that you need to grow in your relationship with Jesus and in your ministry for Jesus. So our mission as a church is to empower you. But not just to be a better version of you, we want to empower you to grow. There's a purpose in this. We want to empower you to grow. And I gravitate to this word grow because it denotes a sense of continuation. Too many of us think that we have to be perfect. That we have to, especially when it comes to church, that there's this level of you can't make mistakes, you can't have sinned, everything, you have to be perfect. But the church is chock full of imperfect people who sin, people who lie, People who get focused on their own problems and forget about Jesus. And worst of all, people who wear Crocs. Like, terrible, terrible people. The church is full of them. And yet, God does not expect us to be perfect, but he calls us to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The goal is not perfection. It's about moving towards being more like Jesus and growing in your life in him. So we want to empower you. But what do we want to empower you to grow in? Our mission is to empower you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. To empower you to grow in a relationship with Jesus. In John 17:3, it says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In the Bible, the word know isn't about a head knowledge exclusively. It's more of an experiential knowledge. It's the difference between knowing about somebody because you internet stalked them and actually knowing somebody because you spend time with them. There's relationship. And so when the Bible uses the word know, it's about a relational experience together. And so a person who is fully alive is somebody who knows Jesus. They have a personal relationship with him. They have engaged with who he is. They're learning about who he is. They're growing in their knowledge and they're growing in their relationship. They're becoming closer to him. But just like how I know my wife better now, I know her better now than I did 22 years ago when we got married. So too, you can grow deeper and know Jesus more and more intimately. And the beautiful thing is, there's no limit. You will continue to grow in that relationship with Jesus because the more you learn about yourself, the more that you learn about him, and the more you engage deeper with what he calls you to. So our mission as a church is to empower you to grow in a relationship with Jesus. To do that, we have articulated four key pillars of ministry that we believe are essential to make sure that we're heading in the destination that God has called us to, towards helping our vision of seeing everybody becoming fully alive in Christ and sharing his love with others. The four pillars are biblical teaching, passionate worship, community service, and intentional relationships. These four key pillars were hallmarks of the early church. In the passage that Margaret read earlier in Acts, we see them, the practice of these four pillars in Luke's description of the church in this ideal moment. Right? He takes like a snapshot and says, in this moment, the church is, this is what it's supposed to be about. And so let's read that passage again and see if you can spot our four pillars within it. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the first of our four pillars is biblical teaching. It's biblical teaching. And in this passage, Luke says that the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You see, they lived in a different world than we did. They did not have the Bible as we would know it. They had the Old Testament scriptures. And then as the apostles, what they would do is they would go from town to town. They would plant churches. They would teach people about what Jesus had said and what Jesus had done. and what being fully alive in Christ actually looked like. And those teachings were then written down and then carefully copied and passed on to other churches. And these teachings would eventually constitute what we call the New Testament. And so for us today, we also have to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, really to the scriptures. We have to read and study and interpret and apply the Bible in our own lives so that we can grow in a relationship with Jesus and become more fully alive in him. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So as a church, everything that we do is informed by our scriptures, by the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and we preach at every single event, but it does mean that biblical teaching will be the major part of our discipleship ministries. That's why our youth have started the Alpha series, so that they can engage with some biblical teaching. It's why when I preach on Sundays, I'm preaching not what the Bible says, not my own thoughts and opinions, but usually those two things align, just so you know. It's why we have kids zones, so we can teach the Bible to our next generation and teach them what it means to follow Jesus and become fully alive. It's why we have our women building fellowship group, right? Building friendship group, so that you can get into the Word and get the Word into you. A lot of what we do here at Brentwood Park Alliance involves biblical teaching, and church, I wouldn't have it any other way, because I know that the Word of God is the most important tool that God has ever given the church in order to empower us to grow in a relationship with him. If you want to know who God is, you look into the Word. You want to know where God is leading you in your life, you look into the Word. You want to know what changes you need to make to become more like Jesus, you look into the Word. Everything that we need for life and godliness is found in the Word of God. And so we need to be people where biblical teaching is one of our core values, or not core values, one of our ministry pillars. So that's the first one. The second one of our major pillars is passionate worship. And this one might be a little bit harder to see in that passage in Acts, but I see it when it talks about how the church was devoted to the breaking of bread and prayer. You see, breaking of bread had a dual meaning in the first century. In one sense, it means simply to gather together and eat food. But in another way, the Christian world, it carried a second meaning. It talked about what we call communion, what we see here on either side of the stage today. In today's church, we celebrate communion often, most churches, once a month. That's what our practice is. And during this time, we spend time in remembrance of what Jesus has done, reflection of where we're at relationally with him. We spend time in prayer as we commune with Christ. And then we do two things. We eat a small piece of bread or cracker, and then we drink a small sip of juice. And the reason we do that is just before he died, Jesus took those elements, bread and in his case, wine, and he gave them some extra meaning by relating them to his death when he says that this bread is the body, is my body, which is broken for you. This wine, this juice, is the blood which I pour out for the remission of sins. He relates them to his death. And so in this time, we consume these two elements, the bread and the juice, in order to remember, commemorate, realign ourselves with him. So communion, or the Eucharist, the breaking of bread, whatever you call it, at its heart, it's worship. It's about communing with Jesus, about being in his presence and bringing our truest selves to him. And I also see the passionate worship on display as the early church prayed. You see, church, prayer is worship. We don't do, like, worship and then we do prayer. It's all the same. It's all worship. Because in prayer, we express to God our adoration for who he is. In prayer, we confess and we repent. In prayer, we count our blessings with gratitude over all the stuff that God is doing. In prayer, we express our trust in God as we bring to Him the things of our life and ask, invite Him to act in those things. We worship in prayer. We worship in the communion in this passage here. For us as a church, we also worship in song as we do this together. Worship has always been a foundational part of the faith experience. And I think that's one of our four major pillars. Hebrews chapter 12, 28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." Worship is what separates us from being this cool club of karaoke singers from being a church. It separates us because what we do it for God, so that God gets the glory, not us. But what it also does is it forms faith in us. I'm going to pick on somebody today. I'm going to pick on my friend Helen, whom I adore. And Helen can't read the words up on the songs anymore. But you know what I got to watch? I got to watch her sing along with "How Great Thou Art" today. Why? Because you know that song, right? That song sits in her heart from like 200 years of singing it. It sits in there. It's formed faith. And by worshiping through it, her faith is not only expressed, it is formed. And it's beautiful to watch. And so we need to be in passionate worship. Is one of our pillars of ministry. It not only does it give glory to God, it builds your relationship with Jesus. So everything we do, from youth to Alpha to Harvest Party, is done in a spirit of worship. Whether or not there's a song, everything we do involves worship. The third of our four pillars is community service. The early church expressed its love for the community through the sale of property by Christians so that they could give to anyone who had a need. If they had a plot of land, they could sell that extra plot of land off, bring the money to the church in order to distribute to the people who needed it. They loved their community. They blessed them. They could bless the community believers and the wider community through their generosity. They knew, because they were taught by the apostles, that their lives were not about them. They're not supposed to be, in church, we are not supposed to be the central star of our lives. We are first to be God-oriented. God should be the central star of our life. We are the secondary player to Him. And then after God, we are actually the second, we are others-oriented as a church, right? That means we love people through practical means. It means that we can go without so that somebody can have. That's who we're supposed to be as a church. And that has always been a value here at Brentwood. From our Canada Day celebrations and Harvest Party, just trying to bring a sense of joy and celebration to our community, to the Connections Cafe that sat with people and talked with the community and got to know them, to the food drive we did at Christmas for Burnaby North House, and the things that we're going to continue to do coming up this year. We want to be a church that serves our community by sharing the love of Jesus with them, hopefully helping them move along the journey to become fully alive in Christ. In a passage that we're going to study a little bit more in depth next week, Jesus says, as the what's called the great commandment, and he says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." Great. So we want to be people that just love our neighbors. It's one of our key visions for who we are as a church. But there's another side to serving the community. We, here in this room, we are a community. We are your community. Every one of you has been given gifts with which God has inviting you, commanding you, calling you to use those gifts to serve the body of Christ. And I delight in watching the myriad ways that people serve here in our church. But I wonder if any of you have been hearing God speaking to you lately about getting involved in a ministry. Maybe in a ministry that would frighten you a little bit. Youth ministry, kids ministry. Maybe some of you want to learn to preach like me. I would love to be able to teach you how to do this if that is something you'd be interested in, because this is for everyone, right? I want to encourage you to pursue what God is calling you in your service to both this community and to the community at large, because something amazing happens when we serve others. We grow in our relationship with Jesus. When we serve others, we get closer to God. We learn more about him and ourselves when we are painting in the hallways or shoveling the snow. We grow far deeper when we lead the Bible study than if we just attend the Bible study. And anybody who's had to lead a study, you know exactly what I mean. You go far deeper studying than when you just attend. Our faith increases when we give to the poor and we serve others. And although others are the primary benefactors of our service, we get to grow as well, which is why it's one of the four pillars to help empower you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. You need to be involved in serving in our community. The fourth of our pillars is intentional relationships. We talk a lot about having a personal relationship with Jesus. We believe every person has to make the choice for themselves to say yes to being on Team Jesus. But while our faith is personal, it is not supposed to be private. It is meant to be lived out in community. We are a communal people. Our faith is meant to be shared. And so in the passage in Acts, you see relationship spread all over it. They were devoted to the fellowship, right? To the gathering of God's people that were on mission together. They were devoted to them. They ate together, and by eating together, they prayed, they worshiped together, and they would even do that in people's homes. They'd go for their meals, and they would pray and worship together. And in our 21st century Canadian context, I'm convinced more and more that relationships require us to be intentional. It's so easy for us to isolate ourselves, isn't it? Right? And so we have to fight that isolationist urge and be intentional in pursuing relationships with people. You cannot be whom God has designed you to be without other people to encourage you, to challenge you, to annoy you. You need people to annoy you to help you develop patience. How many of you want more patience in your life? We've got to be around some annoying people to help generate that, don't you? You need people that are going to hurt you so that you can learn some resilience. You need to be around people who love you and who are 100% on your team. You see, God uses people to facilitate our growth. So we've got to be intentional about connecting. We can't just sit back and hope that people connect to us. We've got to show up to the painting parties. We've got to show up to small group, to alpha, to youth group. We need to invite people over for a meal. You might feel a little uncomfortable with that. You need to do it anyway. We need to find and ask people to mentor us and help us to grow. We have to look around for the people that we can approach, that we could maybe use a connection with. And I recognize that for some of you, that is a monumental ask. The idea of getting up and going to somebody else and expressing a need or even a desire for more relationship is a monumental ask. It is so far outside of your comfort zone, you need a passport to get there. I get it. But church, I believe that for those of you that ask feels like it's massive for, I believe that the reward is even greater. That for you, the relationship, the spiritual growth will be so much greater if you can muster the courage to be intentional at developing some of those relationships in your life. And for those who find it easy to make those connections, we want to encourage you to be people who empower others. Be some networking. There's a sitcom on TV a few years ago called How I Met Your Mother, right, watched the whole thing, and there was a line that came up all the time. One of the characters, Barney, a bit of a ladies' man, he's trying to help his friend get dates, and he'd be like, have you met Ted? And he would introduce Ted. He played the wingman. Well, sometimes we need to do that at church. We need to be, have you met Tracy? And you need to go into that, have you met Susie? And you need to introduce and facilitate relationships. Sometimes the best things you can do is be like, have you met Mike? And then you leave. And just let them figure it out. and just let relationships build. So if it's easy for you, then use that gift to help people who find it challenging. Make those introductions for us so that we can do that. For far too long, people have seen church as a thing that you go to and not a people that you belong to. But church, we are a people. This isn't church. This building isn't church. This worship service isn't church. You didn't come to church today. The church gathered here today because we are a people in order to worship God. We gathered for that reason. So we want to empower you to grow in a relationship with Jesus by intentionally building relationship with you. If our vision statement, you know, to see all people fully alive in Christ and sharing his love with others is our end goal, it's our destination as a church, what we want to see, everybody in the world fully alive in Christ and sharing his love with others. And then our mission statement is our GPS coordinates of how we're going to get there. It's our Google Maps, it's our Apple Maps of the direction we're going to take in order to reach that goal. And my hope and my prayer for you, as we've been going through this series, and as I walk through the visions or the mission statement today, is that not only do you gain a better understanding of what we as a church want to be about, what we think that this is the direction that we are going, but we also want to encourage you to begin to see two things. First, that you begin to see that your church here at Brentwood Park is behind you. We want to empower you. We are on your team. We want to see you succeed and thrive in your relationship. We're not going to try to trick people into church by being vague or hiding behind smoke and mirrors or anything like that. We're going to be a church that's going to be all about Jesus and seeing you and Jesus thrive in a relationship together. So when you come here on a Sunday morning or for a Bible study or for an Alpha or youth or anything, know that our goal in our teaching is to see you grow in your relationship with Jesus. I have an agenda every single time I come up here. And it's not to look good in front of you. It is so that you would grow a little bit closer in your relationship with Jesus. Whether it's your first step to him or your 10 millionth step. And I want to do that through biblical teaching. Know that when Tracy and Susie and the worship teams lead us in songs and in prayers, they do so to empower us to grow in our relationship with Jesus through passionate worship. Know that when we do a food drive or host a community event, we do it to share the love of Jesus through our actions. And it's another opportunity for you to grow in your relationship with Jesus through participating in it. And know that we want to build intentional relationships with you because we can't grow as deep without you, and you can't grow as deep with Jesus without us. That's the first thing I want you to know, is that we are for you. We want to see you thrive. The second thing, my hope and prayer, is that you begin to see how you can play a part in this. That you have a role to play, because this isn't the church, as I said, right? We need you. We are the church. So we need you to empower other people to grow in their relationship with Jesus through biblical teaching. We need you to lead small groups and Bible studies. We need you to lead in our kids zone, in our youth ministry. We need you to engage with the task of teaching other people the Bible as you have learned it. The task of biblical preaching doesn't belong only to the pastor. It's for all of us. We need you to empower people to grow in their relationship with Jesus by both leading and participating in passionate worship in all its forms, whether it's serving communion, being up on stage, using musical gifts, leading in prayers and reading the scripture like Margaret read for us today. We need you to both lead and participate in all of its forms. We need you to empower people to grow in their relationship with Jesus by joining us in community service. We grow when we're others-oriented and are using our resources to share the love of Jesus with them in practical ways. And we need you to empower people to grow in their relationship with Jesus by forming intentional relationships, because you grow most when you invest spiritually in other people. Our mission is to empower people to grow in a relationship with Jesus through biblical teaching, passionate worship, community service, and intentional relationships. Will you join us on this journey? Let's pray. I'll invite the worship team to come up. Gracious God of heaven and earth, thank you for this day, for this opportunity now that we have in worshiping you. We worshiped you this morning as we recognize opportunities for our church community to gather through potluck and in the Experiencing BPAC course that's going to be coming up in early March. We recognize that we got to worship you, express passion, worship in song and in prayer and in the receiving of the Word of God as Margaret read it. We got to worship you as I got to ramble on in your name here this morning. And God, your Spirit has been with us even in this time. And we're going to continue on in our worship, in song, and then in the celebration of communion. I pray, God, that you help us to be a church that doesn't just focus on us, but it's first and foremost about you and about bringing you glory, and then secondly is about others. So I pray that you would help us to make a positive impact in our community. I pray that, God, people would feel, whether or not they agree with us or not, they would want us in the neighborhood. I would pray that, God, you would move in us and through us to be involved in our four key pillars of ministry. You are so good, and we love you, and we thank you. And, God, we pray. I pray for everybody in this room. I pray for everybody online, Lord God, that you would empower them to grow closer in their relationship with you, and that you would help them to become fully alive in Christ and learning to share his love with others, with people who, yes, know about his love already, but would love to hear the encouragement, or with people who've never heard it and we share it for the first time. We want to be people who just honestly all about you, Jesus, because you were all about us. You left the splendor and the glory of heaven and came to earth to be one of us. And you experienced some good things, like some friendship, but you also experienced horrible things like betrayal, like accusation, like slander, like death through crucifixion. And you did that because you are for us. You love us. So we want to love you. We just pour our hearts out to you. So grateful for who you are and what you've done. We honor you now in the name of Christ our Savior. And we worship you with passion, O Lord our God, in this next song. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen.